Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here, our sign says. I hope you feel that. Thank you, worship band, for already preparing our hearts for worshiping this morning. To me, it feels like the month of September has just flown by. Many activities are back into full swing again. Yesterday was the annual corn roast here that happened. Thank you to all those that came and participated in that. I won't read anything from the bulletin. You have lots of announcements you can look at yourself. The prayer concerns will be covered when our pastor Paul comes to lead us in that. I should just point out that the praise and worship choir, they are starting on Monday with their rehearsal. And I've been encouraged that people want to sing in the church choir again, and we will start after Thanksgiving, on the Thursday after Thanksgiving, when church choir will start. So tell your friends and others, and all are welcome to come to that. You can sing in more than one choir in this church, by the way, so feel free. There's other announcements there about Thanksgiving, as I just mentioned, Well, first of all, that there will only be one service, not a German service that week, and also that there's announcements about things that you can, items to bring. Let's turn our attention then towards worship and prepare our hearts. The verse at the top of the bulletin reads, "Fight the good fight, fight the good fight, the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." 1 Timothy 6:12. We look forward to singing together, hearing scripture read, hearing from, it'll be Pastor Randy this morning, not Taya, and all of that. We hope that you will feel God's presence this morning. So now I invite Aaron and the worship band to lead us in our first two songs.
Good morning. I'd like to invite you to stand with us as we sing our first two songs, the first one being "Here I Am to Worship."
Thank you. of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
How could we not respond with the psalmist, Psalm 48? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. I'd like to share a prayer this morning based on this psalm written by Moira Lawlade. Let's pray. We praise you, O God, for being not only the God of history, but the God of our story. You have gathered us here today to remind us that you are the one to whom all power belongs, and you are the one that cares for the weak and the powerless. You care for us. We praise you for joining your story to ours in such a special way through Jesus our Lord. He proved his great love for you and for each person in the way he lived, releasing what was captive, lifting up the burdened, empowering the powerless. God, source of loving kindness and strength, we worship you. Jesus, foundation of our faith, we worship you. Holy Spirit, ground of our very being, we worship you. Amen. Invite the children to come forward. See what Mrs. Reimer Friesen has.
Hello, my friends. I hear some more footsteps. Maybe. Yes, there they come. All right. We will. Awesome. Welcome here. I am hoping that one of you will have the thing I need today. Do any of you have a missing tooth? Do we have a missing tooth? No? You got a wiggling one? Awesome. One already fell out? That's awesome. Corey, any wigglers? Any spaces? No? Yeah. Oh, yep. Sometimes that does happen. Sometimes they fall out on their own, and sometimes they get a little bit of help, right? But they do. You know, today I'm going to tell you a little story about teeth falling out at our house when the boys over here were a lot younger. Do you recognize that, boys? What is that? It's the tooth bag. How many, has anybody ever had a visit from the tooth fairy? Do you do that at your house? Yeah? What happens at your house? Yeah. You kind of share it. I like that. I think that's a really good way to do it. Well, this was always the tradition at our house. We had this little red bag with a gold tie, and it was very exciting when someone would come home from school or from playing and say, "Mom, Dad, I lost a tooth." Oh, big, wonderful, thrilling moment. And we would take the tooth, and we would tuck it inside the bag, and we would tighten it shut, and we would tuck it under their pillow at night. And then we would wait and see what would happen. There you go. You've got a kind of a similar thing, right? Okay, well, that's good. That's nice. Well, the boys shared the red pouch. Thank goodness their teeth didn't all fall out on the same night. And when they would wake up in the morning, what did you find inside, boys? $2. A big deal, right? To find $2. And you know, Aaron and Tommy were very content with $2 when they were little. They thought that was a lot of money, and they were very excited. That could get you two toys at the dollar store and even better stuff at a garage sale. So they were very, very excited by that. And you could save it up and do all kinds of fun things with it too. But then one day something happened. I think it was Tommy came home from school and told me, "Mom, guess what? My friend lost a tooth and he got $5. Oh, that was so upsetting to hear. And suddenly there was this kind of rumbly feeling where I was really excited about the two. I thought it was really great, but now all of a sudden that I know that someone else is getting five, it doesn't seem so good anymore. And you know, that feeling that we have inside of ourselves, that feeling when we're happy and we feel good, that's contentment. And that yucky feeling like, hey, hold on a second, I liked my piece of cake, but yours is bigger. That's like a discontent, and it's a little bit of jealousy, right? Have you ever felt that before? Well, and you know, sometimes that's it. Rather than being happy with what we have, we want what someone else has. Now, the Bible has a really good verse about this. Pastor Randy's going to preach on it. And it's in 1 Timothy, and it's 1 Timothy 6. And I'm just going to read the very first line. It has big words, but we'll figure it out together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And basically, the author is saying to us, you know what? If you feel good about what you have and you're content and you don't worry about what other people have or you don't keep trying to get more and more and more, that is how you're going to feel wonderful. You're going to love your life. That's a big challenge for all of us, right? To not be jealous of all the things that other people have. So let's get a little help from God with this. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. God, thank you so much for all the good things that you have given us and all the blessings we have, and help us to be content and not be looking and be jealous of others. Amen. All right. You can go.
We'll ask you to stay seated as we sing our next song, All the Poor and Powerless.
and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses.
This morning I'll be reading from 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The final charge to Timothy: but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Thank you, Ingrid, for the reading of the Word of the Lord. May we be blessed through the Word this day. In the bulletin, you would notice in our insert that we have sharing each other's joys and concerns. We are announcing with condolences that the family of Kay Lechteman passed away on September the 22nd. And we wish to support the family in our prayers and in our thoughts. A private funeral service as per Kay's wishes. Also, we must announce this morning that Our brother Henry Peters passed away, and the funeral arrangements are pending. And so please give attention to that as well. And we have a number of names of our loved ones from our church family who are in the bulletin for our prayers. There are others, of course, that are not named. But we would like you to be aware that our sister, Director of Education, Taya, is sitting at the bedside of her husband, John, who was taken to hospital yesterday, and he's in the hospital this morning awaiting a test and so forth. So we pray for them as well this morning. After the corn roast last evening, as I was home and as Pastor Randy was home, Randy received the news that Teo would not be preaching today. And so Randy was in conversation with me, and I listened to him, and he listened to me. And I thought, well, we could always invite our church chair to preach, but he'd probably just lead us into a church business meeting. And then I thought, well, we could invite our treasurer to speak, but he'd only lead us into a financial report. No, we don't want that either, do we? And so our faithful pastor, Randy, said, well, I'll see what I can dig up. So just about 12 hours later, here he is this morning. And let us all pray for Pastor Randy as he prepares to deliver. And may the Spirit fill him, and may we hear the word of the Lord this morning through God's mouthpiece, Pastor Randy. We will also pause in the prayer for a time of quietness for you to offer before the throne of God loved ones that are not mentioned in the bulletin. And then we will conclude our prayer with our Lord's Prayer. You probably have noticed that when we pray the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, some of us would say in that Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you're probably saying, well, Paul, why do you say forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Well, it just makes it more pointed, and it strikes home the reality that we are all sinners. So whether you use the trespass or whether you use the sin, we get it. We fall short of the mark, and we pray for forgiveness. Won't you join with me in pastoral prayer? Let us pray. As a community of faith, O God, we gather together this morning for the reminders that we have received through the public reading of the scripture, that we would find ourselves content in this world. Lord Jesus, you have said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their souls? Lord Jesus Christ, by the infilling of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives, may we choose wisely life decisions, daily decisions, that we might find ourselves rich in good deeds, in acts of compassion, in caring for one another. This morning, God, we are overflowing with thankfulness for the opportunity by your Spirit empowering us to volunteer. What a wonderful display, God, to be together with so many of our church family and in our community last evening, for our corn roast. For the volunteer efforts of the youth and of our adults. Thank you, God. May we not grow weary in our well-doing, but may we move on to the second mile and the third mile and carry on. We thank you for those who volunteer amongst our congregation, those who would serve formally in positions, who have service gifts, and others who would have speaking gifts. We pray, God, that the needs that we have within our ministries for children, for youth, for adult, for choirs, oh God, that you would fill us from our hearts to our voices with a new song, a song of praise to our God. And we continue to pray this day for our church council. We pray for those who are serving on our pastoral search committee, that you would give discernment to the women and to the men who must give attention to know what the will of God is for us as a congregation. You have entrusted to us gifts. You've entrusted to us spiritual gifts, financial assets. We ask, God, that you would take from these assets that are ours, and we offer them to you as an act of worship, whether it's our time and our talents, or whether it's the tithes, the offerings that we place into the offering box or basket. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to meet the needs that we would have, that we might be able to serve in regions beyond as we support the work of Mennonite Central Committee, of Mennonite Disaster Services, and the other parachurch agencies that are so in need this day. And we pray for one another in this congregation, acknowledging the passing of Kay, the passing of Henry. For loved ones and friends, we ask, God, that during these days, as they would remember and as they would experience their own degrees of grief, that you would comfort them. For others who are named in our church bulletin, we pray. For those that are not named in the bulletin but are known to us, we bring them before your throne of grace. We ask, God, that you would undertake this day for Pastor Randy as he would anticipate coming forward, that you would quiet his heart, that you would open his mouth, that he would proclaim the word of the Lord to us this day, and we might be open to hear the word of the Lord, and it might find a suitable resting place in our minds, in our hearts, and that we might be the hands and the feet and the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you have given to us the model of prayer. It encompasses so very much. And so, God, we would conclude our prayer with our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Thank you, Paul. I think he made such references to that because he's glad that he's not up here right now. That being said, obviously I'm not Taya, but do look forward the next 2 weeks. Part of our discussion, too, is the next 2 weeks. Paul will be hearing from you to speak, and so that's part of our sharing. And again, deep appreciation for us as a staff together to work as a team, to support each other in our oversight of the ministries of us collectively as a church and witness of faith in the community. Obviously, our prayers with Taya and John as John receives medical attention, and praying for his healing and restoration. I've elected this morning to stay with the text that Taya was going to preach from. And I must say, for the digging around I did last night, Paul, I discovered I haven't preached from this text before in at least the years that I've kept computer records. So this is what I've come up with prayerfully. 1 Timothy 6 certainly has some memorable verses for guidance in Christian living, words of wisdom for us to hear. As mentioned already, godliness with contentment is great gain. Also, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. I've heard from many older folks that the older they get, the more they pay attention to obituaries. Interesting. May seem odd to younger generation, but I know I certainly felt that way when I was younger, and especially when I lived in southern Manitoba. In southern Manitoba, the local radio station, CFAM, frequency 950 AM on the radio, broadcasting from Altona, which is the community where I was living, it had its greatest listening audience daily at 10 minutes after 9 in the morning. 9 o'clock on the hour, news, sports, weather, very important, followed at 9:10 with the funeral announcements. And the standing joke in the community was, well, if you didn't hear your name mentioned, you can go on with your day. The reality was people were listening to hear if, and you have to think of the rural, wide rural community, they were listening if maybe their elderly neighbor or a distant relative had died and when the funeral service would be held. That's how the information was passed on. You have to think pre-internet, where we could all just instantly look it up. The funeral announcement time had the highest rating of radio listeners in the area. The letter from the Apostle Paul to his younger assistant Timothy was written in Paul's later years. You have to start thinking about what was in his mind as he was approaching those later years. You see, Timothy was in charge of the church at Ephesus, and Paul wrote this letter when he realized he likely would not return there to Ephesus, at least not any time in the near future. And so Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him, carry on. Carry on the important task of being a minister of the gospel of Jesus. And there were challenging situations facing young Timothy. And so Paul wanted to support him in the task of calling out those who were sharing false teachings about Jesus, very widespread at the time. And while the church at Ephesus was growing, Paul gave guidance to Timothy for the task of dealing with those who had differing opinions, about worship styles. And Paul also knew the important task for Timothy to carefully call forth, to appoint additional church leaders who would likewise keep their focus on Jesus. Because there are lots of other things to distract a minister. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like an agenda that we as a church would do well to pay attention to, especially during this time of leadership transition. And so this passage from Apostle Paul's letter invites us to focus on the concept of contentment. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, the message expresses contentment this way. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Seems like a bit of a contradiction. Rich simplicity. And yet there's a richness of life to be found in the simplicity that has nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account. You don't need financial resources to enrich life or the lives of others. Thinking about that, I thought, well, yes. Some of the most generous people I've met are people of poor earthly wealth. And my theory is that observation that poor people, they know how much it is an answer to prayer when they receive a gift from others. And as a result, they're willingly sharing with others when they have the means. I've also observed the opposite is also typically true. That those who've stored up for themselves great earthly wealth have done so by not being generous toward others. Oftentimes, not always. But the difference between those two attitudes of life, I'm sure you recognize. And I believe it's the root cause of such great economic disparity in the world. The great divide between the wealthy and the poor, between the haves and the have-nots. It's when we hoard the wealth. And so the Apostle Paul is preaching to people who, what about them? They were the economically poor. In the first century Palestine, about 93% of Jewish people were poor peasants. Just think of Mary and Joseph. After Jesus was born, what did they offer at the temple in thanksgiving to God? Not a lamb or a bull. They were poor. It was the two doves. Simple, but yet meaningful. And for those who are poor, there is an equal tension of having to make do with scarce or limited resources. And so the overarching message of Paul is to help us live with contentment. And for these days, with the global pandemic, with limited number of workers in the workforce, and for us as a congregation seeking a lead pastor, there are services and access to goods nationwide, worldwide. Services and goods limited for which we have become accustomed to, but simply are not available these days. And we're all feeling the pinch. So how do we live with contentment in an age of instant everything when everything is not available? Well, the bottom line is to affirm the need to trust in God, that God will provide. There is a pinch and a stress in our relationships with others and especially with those closest to us. And because we feel stressed about things not happening the way we have grown accustomed to or the way we think they should, we tend to lash out with frustration and anger when things don't happen. We criticize and complain against those who are trying to do their best under difficult circumstances. I raise my hand in confession. And so how do we cope when all we've known is growth and expansion, and then suddenly we have to adjust to the realities of reduction and decline? And what about when the reduction and decline we experience is in the life of faith or in the life of our faith community? Can we still trust God? Where can we find contentment, the rich simplicity, when we have to deal with reduction or even loss? Apostle Paul reminds us, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. It's the stark reminder of the reflection of the quote from Job, the Old Testament story, of the man who lost all his wealth, he lost all his family, he lost his health. And in anguish, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." One of my favorite Christian writers has been Frederick Buechner, who I just learned as of last night when I was looking something up, died August 15th of this year at the age of 96. I told Renata, my wife, that this morning. She said, "Oh, the same age as Queen Elizabeth." Interesting. Frederick Buechner was an ordained Presbyterian minister who did not pastor a church. But as a writer and theologian, he had a huge following for his books and blog posts, writing from the perspective of the elusive presence of the holiness of God. The obituary in the Washington Post includes, "Mr. Buechner continued writing works of nonfiction until several years before his death. His final volumes included," interesting titles, I thought, interesting, his volumes included "The Remarkable Ordinary, How to Stop, Look, and Listen to Life." Another work he wrote lately, "A Crazy Holy Grace, The Healing Power of Pain and Memory." I want to look these up. I haven't read them yet, but they were both published just in 2017. The obituary continues to say, "Trust that if God is anywhere, God is here," he had told the Times in 2000, "which means there's no telling where God may turn up next, around what sudden bend of the path. If you happen to have your eyes and your ears open, your wits about you, in what odd, small moments, almost too foolish to tell, God may turn up." Well, there have been many times I've quoted directly from Buechner. More often, his writings have simply inspired me with the imagery, causing me to draw upon my own life experiences, which I have shared observations of God's work of grace. As we live these days of upheaval and transition, how do we live with contentment? How can we recognize that we are all having to adjust to our expectations of one another, so that instead of lashing out with anger and criticism of others, that we might be a Christian community supporting and building up one another, to be strengthened to meet the challenges before us? As those who follow Jesus, we all deal with similar circumstances, yet our calling is to have a response that makes a difference, a difference in our lives and the lives of others. It's the echo of what Jesus said. Unless you do better than the Pharisees in matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. Here's an idea I picked up from Buechner's writings. Music is an important part of our lives, not just worship, but other aspects of life as well. And if you've ever played a musical instrument, you will have known the difference between playing what's simply written on a music score and playing from the heart. As a listener of music, you know the difference between musicians who play what's written for them and those who play according to the feelings and the emotions that is expressed through the music. The experience between those two of making music is immediately noticeable. And so Buechner describes how the Pharisees, they spent their lives by living by the book, living by the letter of the law. And they got it all wrong. It's like the young man who told Jesus he had kept all the commandments, but he still felt that something was lacking in his life. Jesus told him, "Sell your possessions. Give it all to the poor. Then come follow me, and you'll find life eternal." And so here in Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, pursue righteousness, that is, right living, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. To live with contentment these days, we need an extra dose of generous gentleness toward others, because we're all dealing with limitations of various kinds. And so as to Paul's comment about the love of money being the root of evil, all I'll say is that if you get all you can and can all you get, it won't do anybody any good, neither yourself or others. That's why the expression is there about money. It isn't about the money, it's about how we live in relationship with others. There is the sense of contentment. In closing, I'll confess, maybe it's just my age, I don't know, but I read obituaries. I enjoy helping others write life stories. And my reading of obituaries, it may be associated with hearing about how others describe the life of a loved one in summary fashion. I share this not as a criticism, but as a challenge for us. In obituaries, I often read of people having Christian faith, how they loved the Lord, and such descriptions. That's good stuff. The obituaries go on to describe the person's personal pursuits and activities or their love of family. All good stuff. Yet the stories often lack mention of how this person's faith made a difference in the lives of others, especially in their community. Maybe expressions of faith were lived out, but not mentioned. Okay, that happens. But if faith is real, why not be real about it? And I'm not talking about being an evangelist who preaches on a street corner or someone who has a dozen spiritual conversion notches on their belt. If God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ makes a difference in life, and I pray and hope it does, to me, it seems it would follow to ask how that gift has been shared with others. What are the personal pursuits, the activities beyond your tight circles of family? that have made a difference in the lives of others, and especially in our wider community. As we think about the call of Jesus in our lives for the living of these days, may your living with contentment, that trust in God's ability to provide, give you the grace of gentleness that Paul speaks about here in your relationships with others that expresses faith in Jesus that leads to life eternal. Amen. Worship band.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. I'd invite you all to stand with us as we sing our closing song, Blessed Be Your Name, which will be followed by the benediction.
Joining us for worship this morning. Together as a faith community, we seek to be presence of Jesus in the lives of others. As you go from this time of worship, may you live in the knowledge of God being with you, that Jesus guide your thoughts and inspire your words to revive your spirit for the living of these days ahead. Go in peace. Amen.